Well, I've just have a few short things to say this morning as we continue in our shape course. We're now on to abilities. God has shaped us, God has created us, and God has given us natural abilities that are within us that he plans to use. And sometimes we don't recognize those. Nobody's ever helped us to identify them. And so perhaps there are some of us who are sitting here saying, I have nothing to bring. There's nothing really that I can do. I don't feel like God has made me to do anything. And I want to challenge that. Simon Murray, who's not with us today, so I can talk about him freely, but I did ask permission. Simon Murray was just given the Prestige Award for Best Scottish Wedding Photographer 2025. He's one of our congregation. He's away for the weekend for his anniversary, so you can text him and say happy anniversary and congratulations on your Prestige Award for being Best Wedding Photographer. But I spoke to Simon about it, and as he began to tell me his story of how he got into photography, it was very clear that Simon has just followed the shape that God has made him. He discovered early on that he had an ability, some kind of natural ability or gifting of creativity, of art. Lucy and I, my daughter, stand side by side with our cameras and we take a photograph of the same thing. And I look at mine and then I look at hers and I think, how? How does she do it? Why? It's because she's a natural ability to capture things. Natural ability. And Simon had that, and as he began to talk more, he began to talk about his heart. He's passionate about this, and his personality. It works well for him to be a wedding photographer. His experiences have allowed him to develop in that. And then what was really interesting for him is he then began to identify spiritual gifts that he felt God had given him to be able to discern a room or an atmosphere or how the bride and groom were doing. He knows when to stop, when to continue. And so he, as I talked to him about it, I thought, my goodness, you've just grown in your shape, in your work life. And then he does some stuff for us as well. He serves in the church, so he's producing a video just now for us as a congregation for our website. Someone who understands that God has shaped him for work, but also to work as part of the family of God. We've heard a little bit about Jeff and Kirsten and their sense of how God has shaped them and continues to shape them as an adopting family. Now, there's a difference between spiritual gifts and natural abilities. Spiritual gifts are things that we receive directly from the Spirit. They're gifts of the Spirit because we're in Christ and we're in the Spirit, and he just gives us gifts. Natural abilities are things that we've had from birth. You've just had them. Before you became a Christian, you had natural abilities. It may just be that nobody pointed them out to you. But God has deposited in your life some natural abilities. Let's read Exodus chapter 35, verses 30 to 35. Then Moses said to the Israelites, "See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he's filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills or abilities." What were they? "To make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of artistic crafts." It's just the ability that God had given them. "And he's given both him and Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He's filled them with skill, with abilities to do all kinds of work as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple, scarlet yarn and fine linen and weavers, all of them skilled workers and designers." So God took people who knew what their ability, their natural ability and gifting was, and he blessed them. And by his Spirit, he used those natural abilities to fulfill his purposes, and that they would create all kinds of things for his temple. Natural abilities that God has put in your life. But maybe you've just never identified them, or no one's helped you identify them. So here's in the Shape Course, if you're going through the Shape Course in a life group or on a Wednesday evening with us here, or if you're doing it on your own, when you get to this week, you'll get to 50 abilities. There's a little, you just go through and you say, oh, do I have that? Tick. Do I have that? No. Do I have that? Yes. Tick. Why? Because most of us have never gone through the process of saying, actually, how has God made me and what abilities has he given me? And maybe nobody else has helped us either. Now, I made a list of my own. Singing, music, sport, arts, creativity, language, maths, science, working with your hands. A couple of weeks ago, we had Naomi doing pottery up here because she's gifted with working with her hands. Building, constructing, designing, gardening. Some people are gatherers. They just have that natural ability, or team leaders or team builders. Some people see solutions or find solutions. Some people are clear thinkers. Some people are writers or poets or songwriters. Some people like to restore things. When Naomi was up here, Beth was up here as well with broken cups and plates and repairing or restoring them to even greater beauty. All of us, God has gifted with some natural ability. Question is, do you know what it is? And how can we help you rejoice in it and live into it and then think, how will God use this for good in this world? When we work in line with our abilities that God gave us, what you tend to find is you find greater joy in using them. Even they energize us in what we do. And it almost comes naturally and effortlessly. It was lovely to be here on Wednesday night for our encounter, the light night. And Alan McKinley and Isla were leading us in worship. For those of you who were there, didn't it just seem effortless, the way they led? They're using natural abilities, but in the Spirit of God. And it was just beautiful to be in the presence of God and to be led by those who were gifted from birth, it seems, with a natural ability to sing and to play. And somehow in the Spirit, it just contributed in a most beautiful way to our time of worship. Here's what Rick Warren says, pastor of Saddleback, from where the Shape Course comes. The abilities you do have are a strong indication of what God wants you to do with your life. God calls us down the life of our gifts and abilities. They're clues to knowing God's will for you. God doesn't waste abilities. He matches our calling, what God wants you to do, and our capabilities, those natural abilities that he's given you. And God calls us to and uses them. He calls us down the line of those abilities, both spiritual gifts, but also our natural abilities. So I'm just asking, what has God given you? What abilities has God given you? Because he's given you something. Are there things that you excel in? What are you good at? Use them before you lose them. Matthew 25 is a story of the parable of the talents. What a man gave those who worked for him and how they put it to use. We have gifts so we can use them rather than lose them. Here's how it says. Again, it, that is the kingdom of God, will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. And then he went on his journey. The man who'd received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work. He used it and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who'd received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who'd received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I've gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things, and so I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. There was joy. There was celebration because he'd used what he'd been given. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I've gained two more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Now, it's really important you grasp this for this parable. The master rejoices in the fact that their gifts was used, that everyone shared in the happiness. But the third one is where we probably learn most from. While these guys used what they'd been given, the ability that they had and the investment that they'd been given, perhaps we learn most from the third. It goes on like this. Then the man who received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you have not scattered. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. Who said the master was cold and harsh? Nobody. He'd been basing his response on something that wasn't true. He was basing his response on a lie, and therefore he went into fear, not faith. He was basing it on an untruth. Actually, the man who'd given the gold was ready to rejoice because it had been used. Instead, this one operated from fear. It reveals that this man believed something that was just not true, that the master is somehow harsh and hard. There's no indication of that. But that's what he came to believe. And therefore, his response was one of being afraid and fearful to use what he's given. I think sometimes people are fearful to use what God's given them. What if I fail? What will other people say? Oh, I've not been given anything. What could I do? God's not given me any abilities. What can we learn from all of this? First of all, sometimes people hide, bury, deny, neglect their gifts and abilities, perhaps out of fear. And I want to urge you into faith to find out how God has gifted you naturally with abilities and then to enter into it because it's how God's made you. Not to live out of fear, but out of faith. Sometimes we believe things about ourselves, about God, about others that lead us to fear, not faith. And in turn, we retreat and hold back using what God has given us. Fear paralyzes, but faith energizes. Let's be people of faith in what God has given us in terms of natural abilities. The only thing that we should be afraid of is not using what God has given us. That's how the parable finishes. If you don't use it, you might lose it. But use it and then delight and celebrate with God and with others in how he is using you. And so you can use your abilities for work or career or in the church or neighborhoods or family or with friends or those in need and struggling. We're going to have next summer. I mean, you can use them before next summer, your natural abilities, but we're going to do Love Perth next summer. And we want everybody to be involved, and we want you to use your natural abilities and your spiritual gifts to be involved in that. What can you do to bless the city? Let's all be involved in it. You've got to discover your abilities by then and then put them to work. Use what God has given you. Now, I'm going to invite the worship team to come up as we move into communion. But here's what I want to say in relation to communion. In Scotland, we have a tendency to downplay what we're good at. But God has made you with abilities. Whether anyone has told you that or not, to be acknowledged, to be celebrated, to be used, to be developed for your good, for the good of others, and for the glory of God. And we need to break the lies that sometimes we hold, well, I can't really do anything. We don't believe that. That's not how God has made us. God has made you for something, and he's put abilities, natural abilities in you. So we want to break that lie of, well, oh, I can't really do anything. We want to break that lie when we say, I'm never good enough. Or perhaps, oh, you're useless. I'm always useless. Or you'll amount to nothing. Perhaps it's the voices of criticism that we've had before in our life. Criticism and untruth spoken over us, sometimes by others, sometimes by ourselves. Or perhaps it was just silence in our upbringing. It wasn't the presence of criticism and negativity, it was the absence of affirmation and positivity. No one ever said they believed in you. You never felt seen. Nobody encouraged you. Nobody spotted your God-given abilities, and so you were just left assuming, well, you could contribute nothing. No real value or worth. It is not true. And we break that in the name of Jesus. And we say instead, find out your abilities and step into it with God so that you might celebrate with him in what he's given you. So as we come to communion this morning, I want to speak to those of you who feel that you might be in that place where you just struggle to see that you can contribute anything. Here's what Max Lucado wrote about those who sometimes feel as if they've never been put to use because they thought they were useless. To find me, look over in the corner of the shop over here, behind the cobwebs, beneath the dust and the darkness. There are scores of us, broken handles, dulled blades, cracked iron. Some of us were useful once, many of us never were. But listen, don't feel sorry for me. Life ain't so bad here in the pile. No work, no anvils, no pain, no sharpening. And yet the days are very long. If that's you, I want to say, it's time for faith, not fear. It's time for faith, not fear. To believe and take hold of the truth that God sees you, God knows you, God loves you, God's made you, and he's shaped you with all kinds of things that will bless you, will bless him, and will bless others. And communion is a sign and a reminder of this God who sees you and knows you and loves you. It points to Jesus' death. And in Jesus' death, that's where we find new life. It's where we find new perspective, new purpose, new faith, new hope, new possibility. Because even where we were still far from him, Christ died for us. That's the love of God. And he loves us, and he wants to take us with all that he's put into our lives, and he wants to put us to good and godly work. And so you, as you come and take communion this morning, I want to remind you, the cross speaks of healing and restoring and drawing you to God, of loving and affirming you. He brings a word of hope. The cross brings a word of possibility where everything is made new. This is more than just eternal life. This is not pie in the sky when you die. This is steak on a plate while you wait. God has stuff for you to do now because he loves you and he's made you and he's given you abilities and he wants to use them for your good, for the good of the world and for the glory of God. So if you're in that place where you've been sown a lie, bring it to the cross. As we take communion, receive his healing and hear the truth about how God sees you and loves you and knows you, wants to redeem you, restore you, and through the gifts that he's given you, to bless others around you, and then celebrate with God. Let me invite the stewards to come.